Welcome to the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, May 15th. I'm your reader, Mark John Conley. Now let's get started with some local news. Today's first headline reads, Ready to Rise, Townhome Project Gets Underway. It's written by Bill Shea of the Messenger News. A seldom used parking lot along 2nd Avenue South in downtown Fort Dodge has disappeared under the treads of construction machinery. In its place will rise a series of townhomes, some facing south and some facing north, that will include 32 new units that people will call home. We're excited to bring something that will be the first new construction downtown in a long time, said Denny Hagen, a partner in DEV Partners, which is developing the townhome project. He said the new homes will provide easy access to downtown, nearby churches, and the Fairway Supermarket on 1st Avenue South. We hope it will be a nice complement to the 2nd Avenue South corridor, Hagen said. He said the townhomes are expected to be completed by May 1st, 2024. They will be located on the site of a former parking lot on 2nd Avenue South between 9th and 10th Streets. The townhome project will consist of 32 units. Of that total, 24 will be one-bedroom units and 8 will be two-bedroom units. The one-bedroom units will be in 12 buildings, with a home on the ground floor and one on the second floor. The two-bedroom units will be two-story structures. All of them will be rental units, according to Hagen. He said each unit will have a high-end kitchen, its own laundry facilities, and 9-foot-high ceilings. Shift Collective of Des Moines is the general contractor. The cost of the project has been estimated at about $5 million. A previous plan for townhomes at that location was discussed in 2018, but that project never advanced. Our next headline reads, Teen Killed in Weekend Shooting in Fort Dodge. Suspect is in custody. It's written by Kelby Wingert of the Messenger News. For the second time in 2 weeks, another teenager was gunned down in Fort Dodge over the weekend. According to a press release from the Fort Dodge Police Department, a shooting was reported in the intersection of 10th Avenue Southwest and 10th Street Southwest shortly before 3 a.m. Saturday. When officers arrived, they located an unresponsive male on the ground and began giving medical care until medics with the Fort Dodge Police Department arrived. The victim, identified as 18-year-old Adrian D. Grover of Fort Dodge, was later pronounced dead at the hospital. Officers quickly located a vehicle matching the description of one reported to have fled the scene and conducted a high-risk traffic stop. As a result, 2 vehicle occupants were detained, and 18-year-old Quintarius L. Altman was arrested and charged with first-degree murder and first-degree harassment. The Fort Dodge Police Department was assisted in the investigation by the Webster County Sheriff's Office, Webster County Attorney's Office, and Webster County Medical Examiner's Office. The Fort Dodge Police Department is continuing to investigate the incident, and anyone with information is encouraged to contact law enforcement at 515-573-2323. Tips can be submitted to Crime Stoppers by calling 515-573-1444 or by texting LEC and the tip to 274-637. This was the second deadly shooting in as many weeks in Fort Dodge. On May 2nd, 18-year-old Patrick Walker was shot and killed in the 100 block of North 10th Street in downtown Fort Dodge. The alleged shooter, 17-year-old Devonque, also known as DJ Pettigrew, remains at large. Pettigrew is a 17-year-old black male, is 5 feet 8 inches tall, and weighs 130 pounds. According to police, he should be considered armed and dangerous. Crime Stoppers is offering a $1,000 reward for any information that leads to Pettigrew's arrest. Our next local headline reads, Family Foundations supports parents, young children. Three programs planned. It's written by Bill Shea of the Messenger News. Learning how to be safe around the water and fine-tuning the skills of little fingers and hands by coloring are some of the things that can be accomplished through upcoming programs offered by Family Foundations. That is a program offered by the Webster County Health Department to support parents and children up until kids are ready to go to kindergarten. These parents are their children's first teacher, said Brooke Kammerer, the Family Foundation's program coordinator. We are here to support them as they teach so many things to their little kids. There are 44 families in the program now. There's always room for more, Kammerer said. Family Foundations is an affiliate of an international program called Parents as Teachers. Calhoun and Pocahontas counties also have Family Foundations programs. Kammerer said the program has three components: parent-child interaction, child-centered development parenting, and family well-being. Family Foundations program staffers visit participating families once a week to work on those components. But there are also some public sessions that any family with young children can attend. Kammerer said the upcoming sessions provide the perfect opportunity for families to learn more about the program and decide if they want to join it. The first of the upcoming sessions will be at 1:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Health Department, located at 723 First Avenue South. The focus will be water safety. Members of the Manson swim team will lead the session. The next program will begin at 5 p.m. Wednesday at the Health Department. Kammerer described it as a parent cafe. The subject will be postnatal and postpartum depression. The third program for this month will begin at 2 p.m. May 30th. It's called Chalk the Walk. Kammerer said it will help small children develop the fine motor skills in their fingers and hands by drawing on the sidewalk with chalk. We are going to decorate all that concrete we have around our building, she said. So just a reminder, if you plan to go, the water safety session will be from 1:30 p.m. Will start at 1:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Webster County Health Department. There's also the Parent Cafe on postnatal and postpartum depression, which will be at 5 p.m. on Wednesday at the Webster County Health Department. And finally, wrapping up the month is the Chalk the Walk at 2 p.m. on May 30th, also at the County Health Department. To learn more about the Family Foundations program, call 515-573-4107. Our next local headline reads, Beginning in Beef, Manson Teen Grows Cattle Business. It's written by Darcy Doherty Malsby, a Messenger correspondent. The dateline is Manson. When a blizzard blasted northern Iowa right before Christmas 2022, It unleashed the kind of weather that can spell trouble for livestock producers. Jackson Quaid's cattle feed bunks kept filling up with snow as the relentless winds raged. "I didn't mind the challenge," said Quaid, age 17, who is carrying on his family's farming heritage east of Manson. While he hasn't graduated from high school yet, Quaid isn't waiting to start farming. He bought his first group of 22 beef cattle in November 2022, sold them in early April, and bought another 51 calves this spring. "I buy them at 350 to 400 pounds and sell them around 800 pounds, said Quaid, who is building a reputation at area sale barns from Algona to Denison to Dunlap for raising high-quality cattle. He's also one of the newest members of the Iowa Cattlemen's Association. "I like raising steers, and I prefer black cattle," said Quaid, who will receive his diploma from Manson Northwest Webster High School this May. Quaid farms with his dad, Paul, and his uncle, Tim Quaid. Plus, he started sharecropping 75 acres of corn and soybeans in 2022. For his cattle business, Quaid uses the concrete feed bunks and shed that his grandfather, Richard Oberhelm, used when he was raising cattle. Quaid also invested in a water tank, bulk bin, bale feeder, livestock trailer, and manure spreader. Plus, he converted some hog buildings to hold his smaller cattle. "I'd like to get started in the cow-calf business someday soon, and also have a small feedlot," said Quaid, who plans to study agriculture at Iowa Central this fall. Farming has been a lifelong passion for Quaid, the youngest of five children and the only son. When Paul and Kim Quaid were selecting new carpeting for their home when their children were young, their son made his preference known. "I wanted the carpet that made the best tracks when I drove my farm toys on it, so I could see where I'd been," Quaid said. Not only did Quaid enjoy helping on the farm, but he also accompanied his dad to meetings so he could learn more about agriculture. When he was in eighth grade, Quaid helped start the FFA Discovery chapter at his school and served as the chapter president. In high school, he continued to grow his leadership skills through FFA, earning the FFA chapter degree and FFA Iowa degree. Quaid also credits his grandfather, Richard Oberhelm, for helping him learn what it takes to succeed in cattle production, including saving money for the lean times. "Farming presents different challenges every year," said Quaid, a National Honor Society member. "It seems we can get a few good years, and then they're erased quickly by several bad ones where you go into recovery mode," he said. Oberhelman, age 85, raised livestock for 65 years. He enjoys stopping by the farm to see how Quaid is getting along. "It's great to see Jackson's excitement for agriculture and his interest in raising beef cattle," said Oberhelman, who raised polled Herefords, as well as Angus and Simmental cattle. Quaid works closely with Colin Carlson, head salesman and nutritionist for Webb's Feed Incorporated in Rockwell City. "Jackson is a very sharp guy who asks a lot of smart questions about feed rations and nutrition," said Carlson, who also operates Carlson Cattle, a show cattle business focused on Angus show heifers and purebred Simmental heifers. "He wants to learn how to maximize his feed in terms of cost per head per day. He keeps price in mind, but he doesn't want to throw quality out the window either." Iowa remains a prime location to raise cattle. It's among the top five states in America for the number of cattle on feed, according to January 2023 data from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Yet, there are challenges ahead regarding beef farm succession, noted Lee Schultz, an Iowa State University Extension ag economist. People are the most important asset in Iowa's cattle industry, but they're aging, Schultz wrote in the November 2019 report, Challenges and Opportunities to Beef Farm Succession. Almost twice as many cow-calf and feedlot producers are over the age of 64 as are under 35. Specifically, the average age of Iowa cow-calf and feedlot producers is 53.2 and 52.9 years, respectively. A fourth, or 25%, of Iowa cow-calf producers and 22% of Iowa cattle feedlot producers are over the age of 64. An additional 25% of cow-calf producers and 28% of feedlot producers are between 55 and 64 years of age. In addition, many of these beef producers do not have a succession plan. 38% of the cow-calf producers and 39% of the feedlot operators who expect to be raising cattle for Let me read that one more time. 38% of the cow-calf producers and 39% of feedlot operators who expect to be raising cattle for 10 more years or less do not have a succession plan in place, according to an Iowa Beef Center survey. This is particularly alarming, as a realistic time frame for farm succession is often 10 to 15 years, Schultz said. The survey also asked producers to indicate the degree to which different factors were perceived as an obstacle or attraction for future generations entering cattle production. Cow-calf producers view the rural lifestyle, self-employment, working with livestock, and working with the family as the biggest attractions. The biggest perceived obstacles for future generations among cow-calf producers were environmental regulations, land tax policy, and expansion of corn and soybean acres. Feedlot operators identified the same attractions as the cow-calf producers and cited obstacles such as work hours, labor availability and costs, and environmental regulations. This is where my roots are. Quade is ready to meet these challenges, but he knows it won't be easy. Last fall, he submitted his resume to two land management companies to try to increase his farming operation. While it did not go as planned, I wasn't discouraged. I'll continue searching for farmers willing to give a young man a chance so I can prove what I'm capable of, he said. Protecting Iowa's soil and water resources is important to Quade. He worked with his FFA chapter to seed a cover crop and turn a gully into a waterway to improve the chapter's 17-acre test plot. In addition, his family uses precision agriculture tools and has enrolled land in the Conservation Reserve Program, also known as CRP. They have also seeded waterways and used filter strips. This helps protect water resources, reduces runoff, and provides wildlife habitat, Quade said. He looks forward to new innovations that can increase grain and livestock production, reduce soil compaction, and improve soil health. It's important to be a steward of the land, Quade said. Each generation needs to do better than the last to keep agriculture strong and prosperous while maintaining its integrity. Quaid plans to continue farming and raising cattle during college before he returns to the family farm full-time. "This is where my roots are," said Quaid, a sixth-generation farmer. "I want to help my rural community remain strong." Quaid volunteers at various community events and serves as the groundkeeper at St. Thomas Church in Manson and the St. Thomas Cemetery. "Iowa is home," he said. "This is where I belong and where I'll raise my family." To help rural Iowa thrive, it's vital to connect older farmers with beginning farmers, Quaid said. "We need landowners who care more about helping the next generation get started in farming than earning top dollar rent. I'm here to prove that the future of farming is in good hands and won't end with me. I want to help our farms remain family farms," he concluded. Our next local headline reads, "Farmer's Corner." It's written by Tara Ash. Spring is finally here. The snow is melted and the ground is thawed out. The days are getting longer, the weather is warming up, and the flowers and trees are coming to life. After a long cold winter, our thoughts turn to fresh fruits and vegetables. Sure, you can go to the store and buy them, but is it really the same as growing your own or going to your local farmer's market? As a consumer, is it important to you to be aware of where your food comes from? What if you could get acquainted with the very people who are producing the things you eat? You can have the chance to do that soon. Saturday, June 10th, marks the start of the 39th annual Fort Dodge Farmers Market. Not only does the market have produce, but there will also be other items available, such as local honey, farm fresh eggs, and baked goods as well. If you're looking for a great gift, even if it's to yourself, there will be fresh flowers, homemade bath products, handcrafted signs, and much more on hand. And don't forget Pliner's famous kettle corn. This year, the market will be held at 11 North 25th Street, across from the Village General Store. The market will run from June 10th through October 14th on Wednesdays from 2 to 6:30 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Anyone interested in being a vendor may contact Kendall Pliner at 515-570-0058 or Diane Peterson at 515-570-2443. And turning to today's news briefs, this headline reads, "Bridge project underway on Iowa Highway Number 7. The dateline is Barnum. People who regularly drive on Iowa Highway 7 near Barnum will be dealing with a few more months of traffic restrictions. A bridge deck overlay project is underway west of Barnum. Jenny Hoskins, a construction engineer for the Iowa Department of Transportation, said the work consists of grinding off the top inch and a half of pavement, patching the bridge deck, and then putting down a fresh coat of pavement. She said the contractor has 80 working days to finish the job, which would have it completed in mid-August. But she said work got started earlier than planned, so it may be done sooner. And in today's local education news, there's a Getting to Know Our Teachers profile, and today it profiles Nikki Fishman. Nikki teaches at Duncombe Elementary. When asked what grade or subject she teaches, she answered, fourth grade. When asked why does she teach, she said, I wanted to be a teacher from a very young age. Even though I enjoyed going to school, Learning did not come easy for me. I struggled with reading and comprehension, which affected all subject areas. I knew that I never wanted students to struggle the way that I did. I love to learn and want to instill the love for learning in students. Asked about her favorite part of the school day, she said, "My favorite part of the school day is quiet time because it's my chance to introduce students to new books and genres. We've been able to read over 90 picture and chapter books so far this school year. It's fun to see students interested in books or series that they've never heard before." When asked what she's working hardest on right now, she responded, "I've been working really hard to help students gain confidence in their writing skills. Each week, we strive to better our typing and writing by responding to prompts and documenting our learning. I conference with each student to see what their glows and grows are, and how they can achieve the goals they have set." And what is she most proud of as a teacher? She said, "I am proud when students give it their all and put forth the effort to achieve a goal. I love when students realize they have so much potential and can do anything they set their minds to." When asked what makes her happiest as a teacher, she said, "What makes me happiest is the relationships I get to build each day. I enjoy getting to know the students on a personal level and seeing them grow and shine." When asked how do you contribute to or how you are you involved in the community outside the school, she said, "I am new to Iowa and to Fort Dodge, so I'm still learning about the opportunities this community provides. I've attended student sporting events and cheered them on." Her hobbies and interests outside of school, she said, "I really enjoy crafting, designing, and DIYing in my free time. I also enjoy reading and working out. You'll most likely find me swimming laps or kayaking during the summer months." When asked, "What do you wish your students and families knew about you?" she said, "I want my students and families to know that I love being their teacher and only want the best for them." And what does "Together We Rise" mean to her? She said, "To me, Together We Rise means we do better when we work together." And you are listening to the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, May 15th on IRIS, Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. First up, we remember Julia Irene Reakin, age 94, who passed away Friday, May 12th at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. Funeral services for Julia will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, May 18th at the United Methodist Church in Harcourt, with Pastor Kay Christie officiating. Burial will be at Lost Grove Township Cemetery near Harcourt. Visitation will be 9:30 a.m. Thursday at the church until service time. Palmer Funeral Home in Gowrie is serving the family. Memorials may be left to the discretion of the family. Among the survivors are her children, Brenda Griggs of Stratford, Luella Brown of Sheffield, Loretta Swanson of Dayton, Bruce Reakin of Harcourt, and Rodney Reakin of Ankeny. Next, we remember Carolyn Jo Johnson. Carolyn, also known as Jo Johnson, age 81 of Fort Dodge, died Wednesday, April 19th at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home. Funeral services for her will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, May 19th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, located at 400 South 13th Street, with the Reverend Kendall Meyer officiating. Interment will take place at Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, May 18th at the historic Bruce Funeral Home, located at 923 First Avenue South. Memorials may be directed to the family. Arrangements are with the historic Bruce Funeral Home of Fort Dodge. To view the complete obituary and leave online condolences for the family, please visit brucesfuneralhome.com. Next, we remember Walter J. Phillips, age 86, of Pocahontas, who passed away Sunday, May 14th, at the Pocahontas Community Hospital in Pocahontas. A celebration of Walter's life is set for 10:30 a.m. Saturday, May 20th, at the Hope United Methodist Church in Pocahontas, with Pastor Kay officiating. Burial will be in the Summit Hill Cemetery in Pocahontas, with military rites by the Pocahontas American Legion. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, May 19th at Powers Funeral Home in Pocahontas. Powers Funeral Home of Pocahontas is handling the arrangements. For online condolences and obituaries, visit powersfh.net. And we have a couple of death notices as well. First is Luella Tudor, age 85, of Fort Dodge, who passed away on Sunday, May 14th, at the Paula J. Baber Hospice House in Fort Dodge. Arrangements are currently pending and have been entrusted with Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. And we have one more death notice, and that is for Ruth Humphrey, age 97, of Fort Dodge, who passed away on Friday, May 12th, at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home in Fort Dodge. Arrangements are currently pending and have been entrusted with the Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. And today's Messenger News also features an editorial. The headline reads, "Celebrating Transportation. Trucks, trains, and planes keep the economy moving." We are now in the midst of National Transportation Week, an annual celebration of all the things that keep people and goods moving in this country. By proclamation of President Joe Biden, the week began Sunday and will conclude Saturday. This celebration of the transportation industry has taken place each May since it began as a permanent event in 1962. An annual observance, taking note of this vital industry's importance to the nation, dates back to the 1950s. That makes this an appropriate time to remind readers of the importance of a first-class transportation system to the economic future of Fort Dodge and all of North Central Iowa. Roads, rail service, air travel, and trucking are all part of the story. Progress in turning U.S. Highway 20 into a statewide four-lane thoroughfare was a local priority for decades. That major project was completed in October 2018. That's good news for the economy of all of Northern Iowa and is a sensible investment in long-term prosperity. Railroads don't come to mind as frequently as they did in the era when passenger traffic was a major part of their business. Even so, they remain vital to both the Iowa economy and that of the nation. The existence of an exceptional rail network for servicing the ethanol and other agriculture-related industries has been a critical factor in the decision of major companies to locate in Webster County. The local rail infrastructure featuring two major railroads, Canadian National and Union Pacific, is a key factor in marketing this region to potential corporate investors. The Fort Dodge Regional Airport is an asset that also helps keep major businesses in this region and makes it more attractive as a relocation venue. Flights are now offered to Chicago O'Hare International Airport, where passengers can get connecting flights to destinations all over the country and the world. Fort Dodge is the base for a major trucking company, Decker Truck Line Incorporated, and a number of smaller trucking enterprises. It would hardly be an overstatement to call it the trucking capital of Iowa. These vibrant businesses help keep the region prosperous. As Fort Dodge builds for an exciting economic tomorrow, National Transportation Week is a good time to recognize and pay tribute to this key industry's role in shaping the region's future. And being as there's no Iowa or national news updates for today, I think we'll turn to some local sports news. Our first local sports headline reads, Early Start for Dodgers on the Diamond. It's written by Eric Pratt. The earliest season opener in Fort Dodge baseball history comes just as the Dodgers welcome only 8% of their home runs, 30% of their runs batted in, and 27% of their innings pitched back from a year ago. A perfect storm of less practice and overall experience may be intimidating to most coaches. Blake Utley isn't fazed by the idea one bit. The odds may be stacked against his Dodgers on paper in the early going, but Utley sees a group willing to learn, listen, and work together. The 11th-year program leader is focused on building something sustainable for July. Early success would mean simply an added bonus. It's been a really enjoyable group to coach, said Utley, who has an overall record of 184 to 195 at the helm. They put the time in and love being at the ballpark. It's hard to say how soon it's going to happen, but we preach process over outcome. If we get the kids to continue to buy into that idea, good things will happen. It's just a matter of being patient and consistent in our approach. Only two seniors, Dalton Rosales and Nathan Beekman, are on the roster in 2023, but 10 letter winners do return. Utley predicts a surge in power will come with time offensively, and the pitching staff has the potential to round into form as the season progresses. Utley expects his team to be versatile from top to bottom. As such, there will be plenty of movement at each position, depending on the situation or circumstance. We have a lot of guys who will have different roles from game to game, Utley said. That's good. We need a healthy competition for playing time. And it always helps to have players who can fill multiple spots. The idea is to keep guys fresh and adjust based on the opponent. Juniors Grant Williams and Landon Hout will share the catching duties. First base will be occupied by sophomore Royce Pedersen, along with junior Karch Smith, sophomore Landon Granders, and Williams. Juniors Drew Moritz and Ty Adams will be at second, with Rosales, Moritz, or Adams at shortstop. Sophomore Jace Nekvinda and Williams are the lead candidates in the hot corner at third base. Again, we'll have guys at multiple spots, depending a lot on who we're playing and who is pitching for us, Utley said. We expect Dalton to have an outstanding senior year. He's the anchor, so to speak, and we have juniors who are hungry after having waited their turn. This group feels like it has a lot to prove, plenty of uncertainty and question marks, but they want to prove they belong. Sophomore Rylan Kingery is expected to patrol center field, with junior Jace Johnson left and sophomore Jace Nekvinda right, starting as well to begin the junior year. Junior Corbin Cooper, freshman Dalton Eckley, Adams, and Beekman are in the mix as well. We have some kids who can really play, even though they're underclassmen, Utley said. Once they turn the corner and find their comfort and confidence at this level, they're going to be potential difference makers. Overall, foot speed isn't a strength like it was a year ago when the Dodgers went 15-23 overall. We have some guys who can leave the yard, though, Utley said. There is a little more firepower. We still need to manufacture runs, of course, but having that extra base hit ability in multiple areas could be a huge bonus. Pettersson was 3-1 with a 3.29 earned run average as a freshman. The southpaw will get the ball on Monday in the season opener at McNeil Field against Des Moines Hoover. Royce is our number one guy, Utley said. He's been working on his craft a lot and has three pitches he's confident in. We're hoping for a big year from him. Rosales will be flanked in the rotation by Nekvinda, Hout, Kingery, and Beekman. Williams is a potential closer. Cooper, Johnson, and Adams are all options as well, along with freshman Eckley, Rylan Lara, and Jackson Denklau. You can never have enough pitchers, Utley said. Dalton pitches with the confidence you get from a senior. Nate is a big, tall, reliable presence. Jace has a nasty slider. Landon can throw three pitches for strikes. They all have different strengths. Our responsibility as coaches is to put them in the right spots and maximize their potential. Baseball is what unites so many of these guys. They love playing and have fun doing it. Fort Dodge faces the Huskies at home on Monday, followed by a trip to Waterloo and a contest against Hampton Dumont CAL. Next week features Twin Bills versus Des Moines North, Waterloo East, and Waukee. Welcome to the post-CIML era of the Iowa Alliance Conference. It's a good balance, Utley said. I'm not going to say easier. That's not the right word. There isn't anything easy about our schedule. Mason City is going to be really good. Ames will be super competitive. And we still have Waukee. I think where things get a little better for us is in the depth of pitching. When we would face an Ankeny ball club, Valley, Dowling, or Johnston in the past, it was hard for our staff to match up with theirs once you get into a busy portion of the schedule. Now, with IAC squads, we'll be seeing a lot of schools that are in the same boat as us from a depth standpoint. Utley will be joined on his varsity staff by assistant Connor McLeod and volunteers Easton Cohn and Jared Benson. Dylan Anderson will be the JV1 coach. Rick Pettersson and Nick Pettersson lead the freshmen. I have to say this about my staff. I'm not sure there's one out there who works as hard as these guys, Utley said. I know most coaches would say this, but I truly mean it. I wouldn't trade them for anything. They bust their tails to make this program and baseball in our community better, he said. Our next local sports headline reads, Stags Third at State Rugby. It's written by Eric Pratt of the Messenger News. The dateline is Cedar Rapids. The Fort Dodge Stags became the kind of rugby squad no one wanted to face in the postseason. The result was the first team trophy in the program's young history. Sixth-seeded Fort Dodge secured a bronze finish on Friday with victories over number 3 Waverly Shellrock, 17-12, and fifth-seeded Ankeny in the consolation championship round. The Stags were edged in the semifinals by number 2 Cedar Falls, 28-22. Head coach Tom McClyman's club showed gradual improvement as the year progressed. Finally, at full strength and close to full health, Fort Dodge made a serious run at the Iowa Youth Rugby Association Boys Contact League Class 2A tournament in the program's fifth season of existence. "I think it was a phenomenal effort by our guys," McClyman said. "They really wanted to get revenge on Cedar Falls in the semis from an earlier loss and play for the title, but it didn't quite happen. Still, I'm very proud, and our team should be top to bottom. I think if you asked around, most opposing programs didn't want to have anything to do with us given the way we were playing the last few weeks. That's a testament to their hard work and commitment to each other. It's fun going into a big stage like state playing your best. These guys are awesome." Three Stag seniors, Keaton Nichols, Orion Larson Trott, and Connor Carver, made the All-State squad. Nichols was honored at the prop position. Larson Trott was a scrum half, and Carver a wing. Keaton was a junior varsity player for us in 2022, McClyman said. He got in the weight room, shed some pounds, gained a lot of comfort and confidence, and became leaner and tougher. He was a force, and his best rugby is still ahead. Nichols has signed to play for Iowa Central. Orion was the ultimate competitor. He really knows the game. To see him progress from a hooker position role as a sophomore to today is really a testament to his commitment level to the sport. I thought he deserved elite All-State recognition. Connor played a little with us last year and had some raw talent. But like everything else he does, he made the most of his opportunities as a senior. I think back to when he was on our eighth grade football team as a backup quarterback and compare it to where he is now, a Bemidji State University football recruit and a state track qualifier in four events. It's been a pretty incredible journey for him. The guy is obviously an elite athlete, but he's a fierce competitor and he's like a sponge with learning the sport. Kids want to follow someone like that. Fort Dodge trailed WSR at half before rallying to win. The Stags were also down big to Cedar Falls, but mounted a furious comeback. "It's just really a tight group that didn't want it to end," McClyman said. Seniors like Keaton, Orion, Connor, Alex Reed, Colin Munter, and Cale Myers, well, they're really good friends and worked well together to set the tone both on and off the pitch. "We're very shorthanded and lost to Urbandale in our first game of the year. But that team isn't even recognizable compared to how we ended up. The difference is night and day." McClyman added that the secret to the program's success really isn't a secret at all. "It's simple. Kids have a really good time with it," McClyman said. "At the end of the day, kids play sports to win and have fun with their friends. It's no mystery. I feel like we taught them a lot. I can't thank assistant Corey Peterman and his wife Shelby enough, but the kids have to buy into it and each other, and they've done that." McClyman is hoping the next step for rugby in the community is an established youth program. "I think getting kids exposed at an even earlier age should be a priority," McClyman said. "We need to start with a camp and go from there. I think the earlier kids see what the sport is all about, the more our numbers will increase. If you look at how far we've come since the club's inception in 2019, it's pretty incredible. The community has really rallied around it and had our back. This trophy is for everyone who has invested since day one," he said. The next sports headline reads, "Dodger girls on to tennis semis." It's written by Chris Johnson of the Messenger News. The Fort Dodge girls tennis team advanced to a Class 2A regional semifinal with a win at Dodger Courts on Saturday. The Dodgers defeated Sioux City West 5-3. Fort Dodge will now play Johnston on Tuesday with matches beginning at 9 a.m. The Dodgers won 4 single matches and 2 in doubles. Senior Emily Goodner rolled 6-0 and 6-1 at the top of the singles match. Ashlyn Headley won 6-3 and 6-1. Claire Darden won 6-6 and 7-5. Overall, it was a good team effort, said Fort Dodge senior head coach Julie Astor. Ashlyn played well. She was very focused and ready to play. She was working on her opponent's weaknesses. Senior Olivia Hamlow closed out singles with a 6-4 win and a 6-1 loss. Hamlow then won the super tiebreaker 10-4. Olivia bounced back after a tough second set to win the tiebreaker in commanding fashion, Astor said. She got the lead and didn't look back. She kept a strong opponent off guard with some nice cross-court shots and hitting the ball deep to her backhand. In number one doubles, Goodner and Headley won 6-0 and 6-1. And now turning to some national sports news, the headline reads, two-time world champion Doyle Brunson, called the godfather of poker, dies at 89. The dateline is Las Vegas. Doyle Brunson, one of the most influential poker players of all time and a two-time world champion, died Sunday, according to his agent. Brunson was 89 years old. Brian Balsbaugh, Brunson's agent, posted a statement on Twitter from the family. It read, "It was with heavy heart we announced the passing of our father, Doyle Brunson," the statement read. "He was a beloved Christian man, husband, father, and grandfather. We'll have more to say over the coming days as we honor his legacy. Please keep Doyle and our family in your prayers. May he rest in peace." Brunson, called the godfather of poker and also known as Texas Dolly, won 10 World Series of Poker tournaments, second only to Phil Helmuth's 16. He also captured world championships in 1976 and 1977 and was inducted into the Poker Hall of Fame in 1988. He wrote a book called Super System in 1979, which was one of the first books to delve into poker strategy and created a lasting impact that helped bring many others to the game. Five-time WSOP winner Scotty Nguyen tweeted that he can't believe this day has come. "You will always be held high in our hearts, the man, the myth, the legend, and the godfather of poker, baby. Mr. Brunson, you made poker what it is, baby. Thank you for what you give to all of us, baby. Rest in peace, Mr. Doyle Brunson, the godfather of poker." His influence carried beyond poker. "This one is a heartbreaker," actor James Wood tweeted. "Doyle Brunson, the greatest poker player who ever lived, has cashed in his chips. Doyle was so kind and helpful to me. He was gracious to my late dear brother and every friend I introduced him to. A gentleman and a genuine legend," Woods said. And that concludes today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, May 15th. I'm your reader, Mark John Conley. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thanks for listening, and have a great Monday.